A big hello to fellow teachers. Welcome to the Eduwell podcast, a show created for teachers, by teachers, with teachers. I'm Alex Bush.
And I'm Chelsea Henderson. With over 30 years of combined teaching experience, we're here to help you find balance in your professional and personal lives.
Join us as we dive into a well of information, exploring insights, strategies, and practical tips that you can apply both within and beyond your classroom.
So whether you're new to teaching or a seasoned expert, this podcast is for you. Let's be well
and do well
together.
Welcome back to Eduwell. We are so happy to have all of our listeners back joining us. In the last episode, we talked about how small changes at home equal really big results. So today we're going to talk about how small changes at work equal really big results. So I'm trying to think of a visual that kind of goes along with this because I'm realizing as we do this podcast, I'm a super visual learner. And I was thinking about, stick with me, please. I was thinking about erosion and how a mountain eventually turns into a small grain of sand. And then I was thinking, but we're trying to build small acts into big results. So then I thought about our snowball, Chelsea.
I just can't stop thinking about those snowballs.
The snowballs are inspiration. So I'm thinking of the tiniest, most beautiful, glittering snowflake that lands on my windshield and or on the ground, and then becomes the biggest pile of snow I've ever seen in my entire life. So those small little snowfalls, they add up to some really big snow results. And in life, it's those small little things that we do from day to day that add up to really big things. Those big grand gestures, sometimes they're fleeting and temporary and big in the moment, but the ongoing small stuff really does lead to some amazing changes. So are you ready to dive into the well?
I'm ready. Let's get in there.
Okay, let's go.
So let's start with our first example of using a small habit that's going to equal big results at school. And that has to do with those relationships with the students and even with the staff. The smallest, I would say, and I'm talking for both of us here. Mm-hmm. I think that the smallest, most meaningful habits we use with students as much as we can is giving bits of positive reinforcement throughout the year. As we mentioned in earlier episodes, the result may be just a smile or a student saying, I'll miss you, or a student coming back to visit you in the next year. It could even be a student completing an assignment or just making an effort. And these might seem like small actions, but really they are huge successes in the world of education.
Absolutely. And students like to be seen. Know your audience. There are students who want it to be really discreet. There's not one way to give positive feedback and to build relationships. You can do so with a slight smile, a small thumbs up, a sticky note with a positive message, alluding to something to the whole class about something that you know the student values or has done in a good way. There are so many ways to do small actions to build those positive relationships. Giving positive reinforcement will pay you forward all year.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of those little hints for giving positive reinforcements in our pockets, so we're going to have to brainstorm on that and put that into another episode.
I think so.
All right, second tip would be to keep our kibosh. Again, we are repeating this again. Now, I specifically use this keep or kibosh method for resources that are sent to me through email. I don't do keep or kibosh when I check my email in the morning because I don't usually have time for that. So instead, when it comes to lessons being sent to me or apps asking me to try something, newsletters, etc., then I'll just leave those unread until I can get to them later in the day or the week. And then I give myself like 10 minutes and I go through them because sometimes there will be useful information. Sorry, I should say oftentimes there'll be useful information in there. But I only let myself keep it if I really, really like it and if it's really practical. That's just the way I roll because I know that if it doesn't stand out to me, then I'm not going to go back and check it out and it'll just become something on my to-do list that never gets done. So I will keep or kibosh emails, but allow myself to keep very few of the things that are sent to me.
I'm going to add an alliteration to this.
Fun.
I know you love them. So, So the new alliteration that I've come up with is protect and prioritize, or prevent and prioritize. As you were talking, I was thinking of ways that we can prevent the overload of all of the commoditization of educational apps being sent to you, all that information. And that is to create an email specific whereby you get this information and you check it at your leisure, but you know that it's someone trying to get your attention and to sell you something.
Right. You can create filters for that.
Yes. And the other one is to prioritize. So there are emails that are being sent to me from people whereby the information is always vital to the functioning of the day or the safety of the space and is critical for my work. So I would prioritize. And I know that in Google, you can, for instance, give flags to those people so that that goes to the top of your email. And there's like a yellow flag that lets you know, you have an email from this person. That really helps to protect the amount of energy that I have in a day, the time energy, to make sure that it's going to the most important bits of information. If I don't even know that something exists, then to me, that can go into a separate email account. It's an add-on.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And if you're doing that daily, then you're saving brain space again, right? You're not dealing with that on a daily basis because you've created those filters. So great idea.
Yeah, we only have so much attention to give in the world. So really protect, prioritize, and purge.
As a triple P.
That's a triple P. Do you want me to go
great
again?
Great job, Alex. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, let's jump right into our third tip. And that is, this one is just huge for me. Upgrade lessons gradually and as you go, if you can. I've said before that since I began using simple ways to make my already existing lessons digital, this has truly, I'm going to say truly again, saved me so much time and prep in my days. And it doesn't have to be upgrading digitally. If you find a video or a worksheet that would replace or maybe go with a lesson that you already do, take just that little bit of time to add it in there. You know, use that if it takes me under 1 minute rule. I mean, with a lesson, it might take you under 5 minutes and you can find that to do it. Or sometimes what I do is write myself a note in a lesson or in a binder that tells me about my upgrade or what I want to do next year if I don't have time to do it. And then when I go to do it the next year or with another class even, let's say, it is right there. And it's a little welcomed surprise that I actually feel quite proud of. You know, it's just a little future reminder to myself. I don't know if that's a good thing. Like, I don't know what that says about my memory right now, but
there's so much to remember, Chelsea. It is vital that you are writing down these little notes. Otherwise, you kind of stagnate. The idea is present in the moment. Codify it, note it, and yeah, you will be proud of yourself. It's like you're sending yourself a note from the past to your future self, and you get all excited to read it. And it's like, fun. Oh, I was really on this. Like, I am a good teacher. I really am. That's the type of moment that you're probably having.
It's really self-gratifying.
It is really self-gratifying. I'm glad you have those moments. Mine, I feel like they're happening less and less in my life, but
oh, good for you. Well, thanks for your support. I appreciate that because I need it.
Okay. And as you were kind of mentioning some of those items, I was thinking of things that might be a nice addition. And that is exemplars of past students' work to put up on the board so students have a visual of what can be. You could show that as, you know, strengths and next steps and areas of improvement and talk about that as a teaching tool. And then another piece was, and I always come back to this, is the idea of, yes, it's really good to have the outline and you're going to reuse it because, you know, good information is good information. And from year to year, day to day, month to month, minute to minute, amazing things are happening in the world and in the school community that you can pull from. So making sure that you're never losing, you, me, we all, that we're never losing the opportunities right in front of us. Because if it's relevant to the students' lives, they are more willing to engage fully and to have those practical, meaningful examples that they can attach to the learning.
I really appreciate what you're saying right now. These student exemplars are so very important. It really helps with your teaching and showing them, giving them direction on what you're expecting of them. And there's another piece of positive reinforcement, right?
It is,
yeah. I use your work to show in my next grades coming up. And I want to throw in a practical tip here too. Take that work, scan it, or take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Then you don't have clutter in your classroom. You're not storing a bunch of stuff. I mean, what a great way to keep the classroom space organized.
I think you are moving into another tip right now.
That's exactly where I'm going. So this is it. Set small daily or weekly targets for a clean classroom. How often we clean our classrooms, I would say, depends on the grade level sometimes. I think that keeping maybe a JK, SK, grade 1 or 2 or 3 classroom clean requires more maintenance than maybe the higher grades. shout out to primary teachers who probably have some great feedback on how to keep a clean classroom. So we're going to have to get some tips from them on this one soon. But again, I'm setting a timer in my classroom and having everyone pick up maybe a certain amount of items, which is what you were talking about before, Alex, what you do at home too.
True.
And it's just a great way to also teach good habits and to keep that classroom clean.
Yeah, on a Friday when the week is up and starting a new lesson, the timing just isn't there. Take out the time. It's a community build. Put on some music. There's so many different ways that you can do it. And you have 30 active hands in the space. It will take you hours and they can achieve it in a 10-minute cycle, essentially. And then there's this level of ownership that happens over the space and it just removes something off of your plate. And moving forward, when students are involved in the cleanup portion and the magical fairies aren't just coming and cleaning up after them, mm-hmm. they are more inclined to keep the space clean and to respect the space. And I'm going to add to this one too. Taking student ideas about how they want the space to look, once things are tidy, they'll give you ideas. Can we try this? Can we try that? Can we put up these lights over here? And, you know, offering a yes out and letting them kind of build the space is really exciting for students. And it's been exciting for me in my career. It's changed what my classroom looks like in a really positive way.
Yeah, these kids can really amaze you. And what you're doing is we're empowering them when we do that. I didn't always do that. I would wait till the end of the day and then tidy up my room instead of empowering everyone to take part. You know, that's the same thing with at home too. Really mm-hmm. empowering my own kids to, you're a part of this household. You know, we all contribute to this household. So very, very important at home and at work.
It's a lesson in many hands make light work. And in life, when we, you know, ask for help and we receive it, it's fun doing work. And I always think about the Amish building houses when I say things like that. Remember that book that I read? Live Like the Amish?
Oh, yeah.
I loved that book.
I think I got that. Didn't I start that? I don't know. I'm going to have to finish that.
It's an excellent book. And it's really about talking about what you already have and honoring it and respecting it and, you know, working with community to achieve a common goal. It really changed my outlook in kind of, you know, collaboration as a whole group and how it improves the lived life and the community of a classroom, a school. And in this case, the book was about bigger community, not about school, but I apply it in my classroom.
That's what we're talking about here, transferring these skills.
Very relevant.
Have you ever gotten to the end of the year and found that your classroom is a mess, like your cupboards are unorganized, the shelves are messy, things are jammed into spaces, and like the month before you saw that was happening? Because, you know, mm-hmm. June, if that's the last month you're teaching, it can be pretty wild,
pretty busy. Pretty wild, yes.
And you say to yourself, oh, I'll just do that later, you know, like when I'm done, when the year is over and when the students are gone home for the summer. But then suddenly the students are gone and you're exhausted. And all you want to do is go and drop down somewhere relaxing, like your bed or your couch or
exactly
the
what
beach
I do.
If you can. But your classroom is a mess and you told yourself you would clean it up when your school year was over, but now you don't want to do that.
Have I ever done that? I've done that every year of my career. I've got to the last day. Yep. You get a second wind, like you do get excited and it's a lot of emotion. You want to spend the time with the kids and you want them to go and enjoy their summer. You want the year to end because you're ready for a fresh set of kids. And you're also kind of mourning and grieving the fact that you are not going to be with the same students next year. So it's this big ball of emotion. And I find that, yeah, there's always the closet with all the shoved stuff. And the last thing that I want to do the next day is to go back and clean that up. Are you going to give me a tip as to how to avoid this from happening?
No,
I would love to hear it.
Well, we already did that. I'm just saying, if we are, you know what? It reminds me, I didn't mention this earlier, but is the giving your items a place in the space. Again, I did not always do this.
Well, I'm gonna add to that. And that is that before you allow something into your space, is saying, you know, do I really want this? Do I really need this? Does this have a purpose? Because there's things that we accept into our classrooms all the time. Someone will be mm-hmm. like getting rid of a Christmas tree mm-hmm. or getting rid of extra textbooks that are very antiquated and old. And we think, well, I could use that one day or it would be nice yep. if. And all of a sudden you're storing everyone else's items in your space. And it becomes more work. So I'm just becoming really discerning about what I'm letting into my space. That's a home thing and a school thing at this point. And saying no is really hard for me because I was kind of raised with a, well, you never know when you can use it, yes. You know, and I wash out the plastic bags because I'm going to
Yes, I do.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'm surprised. My grandmother lived during the Depression. And so she really was strict about it. So my grandparents both really passed that on to my mother, who passed it on to me. And I am always very worried about, you know, giving things away, handing them down, donating them in case I need them. So it is, last episode, we gave that as feedback, and I do try to follow it. And I'm telling you, it is very hard for me. And yes, it does surprise me that you're washing out the bags.
I don't like the idea of waste.
I don't either.
So
I think this is a really important conversation. Big idea here is don't be the dumping ground for all of your colleagues' stuff. If you say yes to things, you will keep on receiving and receiving because people want their things to get used from someone. I want my stuff to get used. I have a friend who passes me stuff down and she says, and if you don't want to use it, don't worry about it. Donate it.
Yes, that's a good add-on. Don't feel pressured to take it.
Okay, well, I think we've talked about everything now and the kitchen sink and how we need to clean it out and reuse the bags, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right.
We don't even know where this is going anymore.
No, so let's move on to the takeaways. One, use bits of positive praise with students for powerful impact.
Two, use the keep or kibosh method to reduce digital and physical clutter.
Three, be sure to upgrade lessons gradually as you go. You will thank yourself for it later. Pat on the back.
Four, try to make your plans for the next day or the next week. It will buy you time.
And five, set small daily or weekly targets for a clean classroom so that come to the end of the year, you can start your vacation immediately.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. Once again, we hope these habits might help you get big results in your own work. Incorporating positive habits at home can motivate us to do the same at work, which is great for self-efficacy. Teachers, go easy on yourselves. You are doing awesome work. Until next time,
be well
and do well.